Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to On the Front Lines of Caregiving. I am your host, Lynette Whiteman, and I am the caregiver for my 91-year-old mother, and I'm also the executive director of Caregiver Volunteers of Central Jersey, a nonprofit agency. My guest this week is Tandy Elisala, who is a podcaster, an author, a presenter at the upcoming National Caregiving Conference, a family caregiving coach, and a cancer empowerment advocate. Tandy's passion is helping family caregivers go from stressed out and overwhelmed to empowered and calm. And boy, can't we all use that? Today, we are going to discuss what self-care and legacy have in common. It's a very different way to think about things that I think is really, really interesting. Tandy often hears about the self-care struggles of caregivers, and we are going to highlight a few examples of how these two things intersect. One example that she shared with me already is how making a meal for your loved one can be viewed as self-care when you sit and eat with them. During the meal, you could ask some legacy-related questions and invite a conversation of the heart. Again, I think this is such an interesting way to think about our legacies and one that I actually haven't thought about before. I can't wait to explore this topic, and also Tandy has a Facebook group that I invite you to visit and join called the Empowered Family Caregiver. So, Tandy, welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, Lynette, you're welcome, and it's such an honor to be here and to share this important topic with your listeners. You know, we often hear about self-care, and a lot of caregivers, you know, then roll their eyes because it's like, well, when am I supposed to have time for self-care? So I look forward to exploring this different take on it and how to connect it with your legacy today.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, I am one of those caregivers that when I hear self-care, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Sometimes I barely get through the day. So I love this idea. But first of all, start us off. I read on your bio and just from talking to you that you were the caregiver for your own parents. So tell me a little bit about your life as a caregiver.
Yes. I've actually been caregiving since I was 13 years old.
Wow.
Starting with my sister and my mother. When my mother gave birth to my sister, I was 13, and she, my mom clinically died, came back to life, and after the hospital spent the next 3 months in a mental health institution, and my dad was in the Air Force, active duty, and I was the lucky one who, you know, had to learn how to take care of an infant. And
wow.
And so fast forward and help my mom navigate all of the mental health issues she was experiencing. Fast forward, December 22nd of 2009, my dad was involved in a massive 20-plus car pileup. He was hit by a semi and amid a dust storm and suffered severe traumatic brain injury. And over the course, then, weeks before his accident, my mom was diagnosed, my already disabled mom, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And weeks before that, my sister was in an accident that she broke a lot of bones and was really not able to be there for me in a caregiver role. She became addicted to pain medication and kind of went down that rabbit hole for a while. So there I was, found myself taking care of my already disabled mom and now my dad and being a single mom raising three teenagers and helping my sister as well. And that began our journey. We
wow.
moved my parents with us and we vowed that we would take care of them until or unless their needs exceeded our capabilities. And you know, we were able, they were married for 45 years at the time, and you know, we wanted to honor them in life and allow them to live with, you know, with the respect and dignity and to be together. And, you know, and that worked out up until, you know, literally 2 days before their respective deaths, and they both died about 4 months to the day of each other.
Wow.
In 2012. So it was quite the journey, to say the least. You know, I thrust into that role and left my then 23-year corporate executive career in the higher education administration to take care of both of them. So it was...
And they stayed with you in your home until they both passed away in 2012? They were with you?
Yes.
Until they died? Wow. Wow.
Yep. I mean, they had hospitalization, certainly.
And
a lot of... Most of the time, they were in different hospitals across the valley, so that was always fun. Or they were in assisted living, or they were in rehab. But, yes, they lived with us until they died.
Wow. And so you really have, I mean, I'm just exhausted hearing this story. How did you, your passion now is helping other caregivers and helping them feel empowered and calm. And I mentioned that you're an author, and one of the books you wrote is Healing Through the Chaos, Practical Guide to Caregiving. So how did you get to this point? Because being a caregiver myself and working with caregivers, most of the time what I hear about is feeling the opposite of empowered, like feeling like that there is very little support, feeling overwhelmed a lot of the time, feeling alone a lot of the time, feeling like you have to jump through hoops just to get any sort of help. How did you come to think about caregivers and come up with a plan to feel empowered and calm?
Yeah, that's a great question. I myself, while I was in corporate America and enjoying my life and my career and all of this before my dad's accident, I was also a coach, you know, a life coach. I had my own coaching business before this, but I did that part-time. So I think I was really fortunate, Lynette, in that I had a foundation of self-care tools and really believed in gratitude and the power of gratitude. And so I had a lot of these things in my toolkit already. Mm-hmm. And I will say that in the midst of caregiving, a lot of that went out the window.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you know. And
yeah.
Yeah, and so I wrote my book because it was the guide that I wish I would have had when I was going through the process of caregiving. And, you know, and I really feel that, you know, there's what now the estimate is 66 million caregivers. And all of them, as you mentioned, feel alone, feel isolated, feel very overwhelmed. And so I really believe it's part of my mission to help caregivers, give them bite-sized nuggets, and help them to get through the day. Each day. Yeah.
Right. Bite-sized nuggets. I love that because that's all you could handle is just, you know, if there's any little tip that you could do that makes your life easier, that just is something that gets you through the day and gets you to the next challenge. So I love that concept. So let's talk about your idea and your concept of legacy and self-care, because I think for me and most people, when they think about legacy, you think about buildings being named after people or perhaps what you pass along to your children, you know, like how you're going to live on, I think of as legacy and that sort of thing. And I do struggle with legacy as a caregiver because sometimes I'm not always so nice and sometimes I do lose patience. And I think, you know, it's terrible. I feel really guilty about it. Talk to me about your concept of how self-care and legacy, how you connect those two. I am fascinated by this.
Yes, yes. So you already talked about the first idea, which is, you know, a lot of people, you know, as a caregiver, you're focused on making sure that your loved one, you know, eats, you know, like with
right.
you, with your mom, right? You're
right.
focused on making sure she eats, yet you don't always eat.
Right. Well, I do, and unfortunately, so, but I might not
yeah.
do something else, but I always eat, that's for sure.
Yes. Yes. And so the idea that we as caregivers can take 5, 10, 15 minutes, you know, half hour, and sit with your loved one together and then engage in meaningful conversations of the heart. I did this a lot. And I will say this whole idea, Lynette, of legacy, I'm really, really passionate about, because one of the things that I did that I just intuitively did with my parents is I helped, especially my dad, go from their head to their hearts.
Yeah.
And in the process, Lynette, of asking them questions, of really engaging in their feelings and experiences in life, I got to know the man and woman that my parents were beyond the role of mom and dad.
That's wonderful.
And that was powerful. Because
yeah.
for a couple of reasons. One is it helped me understand why they were the way they were, why they raised me
right.
the way they raised me, and more about their relationship. And
right.
from that space, Lynette, I was able to expand my compassion for them
in such a big
way.
Right,
And the other thing that it did was it helped them be at peace. And I really believe that my incorporating self-care and legacy and with them helped them die with peace and with grace.
Is that because they felt like they were actually heard, or that you knew who they were? Like, what piece did you provide to them? How do you explain that a little bit?
I think it's both, Lynette. I think
yeah.
I think that I helped them be at peace with who they were and how they wanted to be remembered.
Mm.
And, you know, yep. And so when I think of legacy, I think about that. I think about...
Yeah.
How do I want to be remembered? How do I want people to feel when they hear
mm-hmm.
my name?
Yeah.
And what stories
yeah.
can I
yeah.
forward to future generations?
It's so profound, because I think that, especially with dementia and Alzheimer's disease, you absolutely lose who that person was before. And it's so hard to keep on holding on to that and remembering that, especially when you're in the day-to-day caregiving stuff, because they change, and they're not, you know, with my mom, like, she has no interest in me at all at this point, and it's the illness, but basically she wants to know when we're eating and if I'm going to be home. And so I struggle to remember. I was her life at one point, and she would have cared where I was going and what I was doing, and she celebrated my successes, and I struggled to hold on to that as her legacy. I don't want her legacy to be what it is now, but I struggle with
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, dementia and Alzheimer's is, in my opinion, such an ugly disease. And it really does a number. Really does a number on, yeah.
Right. But I think your point of even if they don't have Alzheimer's or whatever, you know, when people get older, their needs change. They do get a little more intra-centered, you know, just centered about their own survival. So just being able to bring that out in them, to be able to share their legacy on a different level, that's such a lovely concept to give to somebody.
Yes, it is. Thank you. And I don't know, you know, depending on where our caregivers are, you know, that are listening right now, what type of caregiver they are and what they're, you know, why they're caring for their loved one. These ideas may or may not apply. You might tweak them or it might inspire some ideas. But another idea around this idea of self-care and legacy is to have, if possible, like have both of you read a book, like whatever interests them and whatever interests you, and like but sit down together, but you're both reading your own books, and then like take time, you know, maybe after an hour or 30 minutes or what have you, and discuss that, like what you got from it or what you're learning. Another idea that I really, really love is, and we did this almost every Friday when we weren't in different hospitals, is to watch, we let my parents pick a movie that we would watch as a family. And we would watch that movie, which is a form of self-care because we're sitting down and watching a movie. And then afterwards, we talked about it. We reflected on why they loved the movie. And maybe, you know, I would ask my parents, like, where were you in your life when you first saw this movie? And what does this mean to you? And so that would be, you know, another idea to incorporate.
So it's really like, so you get a chance to watch a movie. You get a chance to read a book. You get a chance to read a meal equal self-care. Legacy, you're watching a movie with your whoever you're caring for. You're reading a book with whoever you're caring for. You're eating a meal with whoever you're caring for and talking about it. The legacy part of it. So it is connecting. So it is really a different way to think about it. It's great. It's really a nice concept. It really is.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, one, I guess, last idea that I'd love to share is something that, you know, when we talk about self-care, we often think about the physical self-care, but we're rarely encouraged to really think about our minds and our feelings and gratitude. And one of the ideas that I think can be really powerful is if, you know, each of us write a letter to someone they love. You know, we go through so many fears, fear of survival, fear of death, fear of being alone, all these things. But writing a letter to someone you love can heal and help deepen your connection. So I encourage people to write letters to their loved ones, share how they're feeling, or maybe some memories that they want to share, and then give it to that person or read it to them if they're not able to read it themselves. And that writing process is a huge form of self-care because you're taking that time for you and you're really honoring your feelings and you're healing in a way. And so, Lynette, like when I was writing my book, you know, and you mentioned this, you know, my dad was changing and I went through anticipatory grief every single day. And I'm sure you do too. You know, for different reasons. And and the writing process really helped. And I wrote my dad letters and I gave them to him and he would read them and then tell me how profound of a writer I was and, you know, how beautiful. And then he would share his feelings with me verbally.
I think this is one of those things that, like, you wish for those people who whose father has died or parents have died or something, you wish you would have done this before it was too late. I wish I could have done this with my dad, but he passed away within a 2-week period of time, and he was on a ventilator, and I never got to say that stuff. But I would do anything to get that time back, to have been able to do that for him. And he would have loved it, because he was a letter writer himself. So it's almost like, before it's too late, just take some time to do this for yourself. It does make such a huge difference. That's wonderful advice, really nice advice. So talk to me about, I mentioned that you're going to be a presenter at the National Caregiving Conference. That's being sponsored by caregiving.com. It's in Chicago on November 9th and 10th. And tell me about your talk. What are you going to be talking about?
Yes. Well, I have two talks. My first one is about five ways to be an empowered caregiver.
Perfect.
And yes, exactly. And then my second topic is about how to really reclaim your life after caregiving ends.
Yeah, that's big too. Yeah. Those are great talks. Those are really good talks. And your Facebook, tell me about your Facebook group.
Yes, my Facebook group is Empowered Family Caregiver. And I go live on Mondays with Mindset Monday tips. And we have some humor in there. You know, it's a safe space for people to share what's going on for them or, you know, any questions they may have. I share, inspirational tidbits from time to time. I also share trends that are going on or things that are happening, you know, across the world as it relates to caregiving.
Perfect. Okay. So for the conference, people could go to caregiving.com, and then all the information about the conference is up there on that website. And then for your Facebook group, if you are on Facebook, you just type in Empowered Family Caregiver. Is that right? Is that what you type in? And then there's a place to join it and like it, and then you'll be sent updates, right? Is that right? All that sort of fun stuff?
Yep. I have a page. I have a group, and the group, you just click to join, and then you're in.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so again, it's Empowered Family Caregiver, and you just join the group, and then you'll be sent updates by Tandy and all the other great stuff. So, Tandy, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I want to thank you for everything that you're doing for caregivers and helping us through this tough time and helping us feel empowered and calming us down when we're crazy. Your voice is so needed in this world today. So I just want to thank you so much for what you're doing.
Well, thank you. It's such an honor to be here and share. So thank you for the opportunity.
All right, and I will see you in Chicago. We'll finally get to meet after talking a lot. So I will meet you in Chicago. So, again, thank you to Tandy, and thank you for everyone who listened in today and for joining me on the front lines of caregiving. And if you like today's podcast and you want to hear more from my guests that are coming up, you could subscribe to it, and then you'll be given updates about what my guests are and when my next podcast will be. So Tandy and everyone listening, have a wonderful day, and hope everybody is able to feel calm and empowered. Thank you, Tandy.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.